Welcome to our podcast, where quilters who love all aspects of the craft, from traditional and contemporary to art and modern, share their passion and perspectives on all things quilty. I'm Tracy Mooney.
I'm Ginger Sheehy Taddock.
And I'm Vivica Denegri.
Happy New Year, everyone. First, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in, and thank you so much for all of your support this last year. It really has been an amazing journey to start the podcast and have so many listeners so soon. Today, we have some New Year inspiration lined up for you. First, we'll be talking about all things books. So our favorite books that are currently on our bookshelves, maybe our favorite quilting books, all of that. After that, we're going to our open studio segment. Vivica is going to be talking to our special guest, quilt designer and author, Heather Black. We are so excited for that. And in our fine finishes segment, we read a special letter from a very new listener. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Oh, I can't believe another holiday season is gone.
Can you believe it?
No.
I don't even know where last year went.
Yep. It's all a blur.
All right. So we're going to be talking about books today. Books are one of my very favorite things. I'm kind of a book addict. I am not a Marie Kondo person when it comes to books at all. And so I think we'd like to hear what each of you has on your bookshelf, what you love about the books that you are reading, and what ones are coming up for you, like what are in the book stack on your shelf. Vivica, you want to go first?
Well, I have to say I join you in my non-condoing of my bookshelves.
Because right? It just should not be done.
If I didn't have a stack of books, it just wouldn't be my home. So books are so important to me. I was an English lit major and, I just do. That's my thing. That's my jam.
That explains
a
lot.
So not only do I love, I love quilting books, but I love quilting books that are well written. And I love books that give me a lot of eye candy. So I actually have three on my desk right now that are my new favorites. And the first one we're actually going to talk about in the next segment. I won't gush too much, but Daisy Afahag and Heather Black's new book about using curves and straight stripes together. It's exquisite. It's really a beautifully written book as well as a really beautiful book. But I'm going to save that for the next segment.
Who's the publisher on that one?
Pardon me?
Who's the publisher on that one?
That is Stash Books.
Excellent.
Oh, nice.
Stash makes beautiful books, modern books. But they also do arty kind of art quilting type of books too. And there was a book that came out last year that's also just one of my favorites, and it's by Maria Schell. It's called Improv Patchwork: Dynamic Quilts Made with Line and Shape. And if I get to come back in another lifetime, I want to come back with the ideas that this woman has. So sort of in the same theme of stripes that Daisy and Heather have, Maria also uses stripes in her work. She makes her stripes generally with plain solid fabrics, and she makes them sort of dynamic by not using a ruler as she's working. Ah. And then she puts them together in such exquisite ways that these quilts are just, they vibrate with color and excitement. And so learning how she does that, I think, is fascinating, just fascinating. So well-photographed book, beautifully written book, and absolute eye candy. So that's one of them. Mm-hmm. And then the second book, that is also a stash book. And so the second book is by Sandra Sider, Nancy Bavor, Lisa Ellis, and Martha Seelman. And this one is called Art Quilts Unfolding, 50 Years of Innovation. Oh. And if you ever want to know how the art quilt movement began, where it has gone, etc. This is such a gorgeous book. It was put out by Sakwa as part of their anniversary celebration last year. It is, you could press flowers in it. It is so heavy and big and thick.
I love books like that.
Amazing. So it has beautiful, beautiful photos. It has essays and just rich, rich writing and visual stimulation. So art and modern are now covered.
Nice.
There you go.
It sounds like you would be a contender for the audiobook on that last one.
Right? Audiobooks. If we could only get the visuals with audiobooks for,
it would be distracting on the drive in, though.
Yeah. Don't want to look at the screen while you're driving.
Right.
Too funny.
What about you guys? What are your favorite books?
Yeah, Ginger. What do you got?
Yes. No, it's so funny. I got to be blessed with, so many books. I literally cannot fit them all in where I quilt. So I've brought a bunch into work and I picked out some of the ones that really, truly have spoken to me or I'm hoping will speak to me that I'm so excited to hopefully work on some projects and learn from. But the first one, it was actually a gift from a good friend of the company, Brenna Riley. She's over at the Modern Quilt Guild now. So shout out to Brenna. Love you. She had given me the Get Started Quilting, The Complete Beginner's Guide. This is by Jessica Alexandrakis. Is that how you think we'd say it? I did not pick any books with somebody who has easy names to say.
It's a Greek name.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Yes. I think it's Alexandrakis. But anyway, this book, it's the first time I ever picked up a sewing book, quilting book, or anything, and started reading through it. And I think the first thing I realized in reading through this, because it is very well written, is, hey, this isn't that hard. And it's like, it really does break down, all the essential stuff that you need to know. The imagery is just beautiful. I mean, it inspires me every single page. It just really, I felt like they step out everything beautifully.
She's flipping through it and the photos are just stunning.
Yeah, they're just stunning.
I've not seen this book before, actually, so I might need to get that one.
It was such a little treasure. It was part of the Interweave publishing. So I'm not sure exactly where you can get it now. If I can find it, we'll put a link in the
Perfect.
Notes or whatever, and I'll take a picture of it. But it has the very first quilt that I followed directions on, I should say. And it was the rail fence, because it was a really easy one.
Easy.
And I have a picture of the quilt that I did. It was the very first one that
You'll
I did.
Have
it's
to
in
give
really
that to
fun.
Us,
I call it my retro quilt because it's all like 70s bright, like lime green and orange and yellow and all that good stuff. But yeah, so I was like, I saw the rail fence and I saw how it came together. And I was like, oh my God, that does not look that hard at all. So I sat down, did that, and I was just so proud of myself. And I refer back to this book a lot because it goes through, each of the techniques. It goes through paper piecing. It goes through flying geese, hexagons. Like, it just really touches on everything so you can get a full scope. And it gives you the ability to actually finish some projects at the end of it as well.
Nice.
So I definitely love this book. It is fabulous. The other one, since I've started dabbling in garment sewing, is Lada, and yet again another last name.
I know Jan's daughter.
Jan's daughter. There we go. Every time, it's so funny. As soon as I said Lada, every single person finishes it for me. So I don't know that I've had to actually say her name. Amanda Crestio, who is the editor for Sew News Magazine and also a host of show Sew and Tell, our sister podcast on the sewing side. She gave me this book, and I feel as if
it's
this
a
was
book.
Oh my God! It's not only is it a beautiful book, but it truly did inspire me. And she was so adorable. She looked at it and she was like, this totally looks like you. And
aww.
So I've definitely, it's so funny. I literally have like a ton of, you guys can't see this, but I have like pages. I've got
I think
little
we should take
sticky
a picture
notes.
Of that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there's like probably what would you say? Like 15 sticky
there's
notes.
There's at least
there.
15 sticky notes sticking out
so,
of it.
So many projects that I want to do.
Wear something at market, Ginger? Didn't you wear a beautiful tunic made from that?
I was so proud. And I had never gone any place where I'd actually made something and people were like, that's really pretty. And I'd be like, I made this. And it was the first time I actually got to say that. And so it was just such a fabulous feeling. So, yeah, if you go to the podcast that we have, it's the second podcast from the Quilt Market. You can take a glimpse at it and see.
Nice.
But anyway, so I cannot recommend this enough. Okay, so I have three other books that I'll just quickly mention. One is, it's a block a day book that I had gotten. I get to reap tons of benefits with the company. We were closing offices and books were just there for sale, to take. And I was like, I'm just going to take them. So they didn't tell me to stop. No, they didn't tell me to stop. So I was like, I'm going to take that one and that one and that one and that one. And I tend to keep this one out. Where my quilt is right across from my bed. And I just have it sitting out there. And this is just a block a day. I haven't really done anything with it. This is Lucinda Ganderton, Is that how? Yeah, sure. That sounds good. Lisa Ganderton. It's a block a day, 365 quilting squares for patchwork inspiration.
And who's the publisher?
And the publisher on this one is Interweave
also
as well.
Interweave.
It was
Excellent.
Also Interweave. Like I said, I got a lot of these from work. So, mm-hmm. But the thing that I love is that I truly do like take it as inspiration. Where if it, you know, I don't do it every morning, but if it catches the glimpse of my eye, I can't help but like just open it up and literally get sucked in for 5 minutes and just look at all the different possibilities for blocks. So for me, it's just more of an inspiration book. I haven't actually gone in and done all the blocks or done that, but maybe someday.
Which is okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I just love the fact that it is such a huge inspiration. And then the other two that I've got, one, it's so funny, Vivica, because we were talking about improv, and right now curves and improv, I'm pretty obsessed with both. And I'm actually doing the curves part of it.
Nice.
I have not done the improv yet. And so there is this improv, improving traditions. It's 18 quilted projects using strips, slices, and strata. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Alexandra Ledgerwood. And this is also an Interweave book. And I grabbed this and it was like, yet again, this is one where I've got lots of like, mm-hmm. I want to do this. I want to do that. I've got
She's
little
got
sticky notes
sticking out of the top of
so
it.
So I just, every page that I turned to, I was like, that is just beautiful. That is just beautiful. So
mm-hmm. That is a great book. I have that one too.
Yeah. So this one, yet again, haven't done anything with it yet, but I'm inspiring to actually get some of these projects done.
Excellent.
And then my other big thing in this next year is I really want to work. I want to do a bag or a tote or something. So I have Sew for Home Bags and Totes. This is 10 easy, fashionable projects anyone can sew. So I'm going to put that to the test. But this is Liz Johnson and Ann Adams that have done that. And this is actually, it was a Fonz and Porter publishing. So just really fun, cute bags. I love it because it's like a lot of the fabrics that they use in their bags. I'm usually inspired. Like if I see a fabric that I like, I'm like, ooh, yeah, I could do that bag. So that does tend to grab my eye and do that. But it really, yet again, this feels inspirational and I'm hoping I can at least knock out a bag or two
nice.
Coming up. So
I like
that's
making
it.
Bags.
You guys have seen a little glimpse into my library.
Excellent.
All right. How about you, Tracy?
Right.
I want to know.
So my library is extensive.
Oh.
I have been, so when I first started working for magazines in 2012, I started by writing book reviews. And so I started getting books back then. So I've narrowed my book collection when I moved down to two bookshelves. My husband tells me I can't have any more, so I just sneak them in.
Those darn husbands.
He's not listening.
Yeah.
No. The last time we said that, you know, that I said, oh, he doesn't listen to the podcast was exactly the time he decided to listen
of
to
course.
The podcast.
Yes, of so, course. Never fails.
So anyway, so I always have books and the bookshelves are right in my bedroom. So they're right next to my bed. And then I always have a stack of books. And I'm the type of person who, before I, you know, worked in the industry, I used to go to the library. And even after I started working in the industry, I would go to the library and come home with like stacks of books. And so these are all books that have recently been published, except for, I think, one. And they're currently in my list of to read.
Okay.
So, first one just came in. It's by Melanie Fallick, okay. And it's called Making a Life. This is a big hardcover. It is absolutely beautiful. And this one's Artisan Publishing. It has all kinds of inspirational photos, but really it's about creating a life that's creative and inspiring. Beautiful. So this one, Vivica, I'm sending to you as soon as I'm done with it.
Just that's on my list.
It might have to swing by my desk first and then to you, but I'm just
okay.
saying.
All right. That's fine. Okay. So another one just came in, I think, yesterday. And this one is Pillow Talk, and it's by Aditya Sitar. And it is actually published by Itso Emma. And it is nothing but pillows.
Oh.
It is so cute. There's applique pillows and peace pillows and all kinds of different pillows.
And you can put the movie Pillow Talk on while you make your pillows.
That's true.
Stay with the theme.
So true. And I think my couch needs more pillows. So just
Whose doesn't?
Right? So, all right. So the next book that I actually just requested because it is an older book and it is by Martingale. Is called All for Fall, and it's Bonnie Sullivan. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I've been doing a Bonnie Sullivan actually panel quilt. It's the first panel quilt I have ever done. And Bonnie is known for woolly and flannel fabrics and designing quilts or little wall hangings that use embroidery and applique, and they're sometimes holiday inspired. And the quilts I've been working on is based on some of her Christmas designs, and it's a flannel, and it's so soft, and the fabric's by Maywood, and it is so stinking cute that I decided that Bonnie should probably be a guest on our podcast, just saying. All right. And
I don't think we'll argue.
So I requested her books so that I could, you know, do a little research. Nice. So I got some ebooks. So these are a little, you know, not like they're not going to sit on my nightstand, but All for Fall has an adorable Halloween pattern that I simply must make. And I actually bought the pattern separately and then realized it was in a book. So, okay. Next one. Sisterhood of Scraps by Lisa Alexander. I think it's coming out this month. So look for that one in stores. Lisa always does amazing compilation books that have tons of really fun patterns in them. And I just adore her books. So whenever she has one that comes out, I always grab it. And finally, The Ultimate Appliqué Reference Tool by Annie Smith.
Nice.
If you guys don't know who Annie Smith is, she's awesome. She is the sweetest lady on the planet, amazing appliqué artist. And she just created a reference tool, like small book. So it's a little skinnier, it's got the wire.
Right. Like a flip book almost.
So it stays open. Mm-hmm. And that's through C&T. This one I just got. And so it just came back from the photographer. So I am dying to break into this one and learn some tips for my appliqué.
Nice.
So there goodness. You go. So that was a little bit of a long segment for us, but I feel like we really...
Well worth it. Like, oh my gosh.
We have our inspiration for at least the next month, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Vivica, are you ready to go talk to Heather?
I can't wait. Heather is one of my wonderful designers that had contributed so many times to Modern Patchwork and QuiltCon magazine. So... it was a pleasure to have to speak with her.
Yay, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Let's listen in.
I'm here today with Heather Black. Heather is a really talented quilt designer and quilt maker from Spokane, Washington. And I have to say that she is someone who has appeared in the magazines that I edit so frequently. It's almost like it can't be a real magazine unless Heather's quilts are appearing there. So welcome, Heather. So glad you could be here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So it's the new year now. We've passed our holiday season, made it through. And I hear that you have a brand new book coming out. I am so pleased to hear this. Can you tell me something about it?
Yes, I have a book coming out January 7th, and it's my first book, so I'm really excited to share it. And I have a co-author on my book, Daisy Ashhaug, and we met at a quilt show. Well, we met via Instagram first, but met in person at a quilt show, and that kind of got the ball rolling. But we're really excited to share about the book and... share the love of curve and stripes together with people.
Well, let's take a step back here for a minute, because I know the work that you do and so many people know the work that you do, but because this is a podcast, we don't have any visuals. And so I would just like our audience to imagine the most cool, awesome, and interesting curved, mostly Drunkard's Path or circled quilt that they can imagine, and then amp that up by about 20. And that's the kind of quilts that both you and Daisy make. I don't know how you possibly come up with the designs that you come up with, because they're all innovative. I have never seen them before. I've never thought of them before. And they're just astoundingly and beautifully made. And so that has always been something that's really impressed me about what you do. And I was so excited. I think it was Daisy, actually, that told me for the first time that she had a book coming out, and her co-author, you won't believe it, Vivica, is Heather Black. And so I think you both share this really wonderful, you know, you're in the cheerleader club for one another. And I think that's so sweet. That's really cool. So you guys met at a quilt show.
In person. First, we met
in person for the
first time. Yeah, we connected on Instagram. We were admirers of each other's quilts. And Daisy was living in Louisiana at the time. And I'm here in Spokane. And she was thinking of, her and her family were thinking of moving to Pullman, Washington, which is a good hour and a half, 2 hours south of Spokane. And so she contacted me to ask about quilt guilds in the area. And so that's kind of how we started connecting. She had grown up on the east side and went to college in North Carolina, but then went to grad school in Montana. So we really connected over our love of the Pacific Northwest and that Montana area, the western state of Montana. So that's, so we just instantly had connections that were outside of quilting also. And then we met at QuiltCon in person, and that got the whole ball rolling for the book. So it was nice to work on a book with someone that you had personal connections to.
And you're so lucky you had the internet, because I've got a little story to tell you, and I didn't expect to be telling this story today, but I also chose where I lived by contacting someone that I met from quilting. And this is funny. This is before the internet. I was living in California, and my husband and I were on our way back to the East Coast. And so I picked up a copy of Quilter's Newsletter, and I found a local quilt guild in around New Haven, Connecticut, where we were moving. And I called up the person on the phone, and I said, "Where should I move? Because I need to find quilters to, you know, help me through this whole process." So isn't it cool how you can have such a connection with someone that you really don't know that well, and it's all because of something that you share, like quilting?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just
That's what I've noticed, like going to conventions and meeting other quilters, is you just have that instant bond and can appreciate and share your work with other quilters. And, yeah, so it just makes it having a book and being able to share with people, knowing that there's a mutual love out there, makes it all better too.
That's right. And it's good that you have it now too, because Daisy lives in Norway.
Yes.
So she has now moved from Washington to Norway. Now, it's one thing to have an hour and a half between you. That's nothing for a quilter to get together with a pal, but it must make it a little bit more difficult to be working with her in another continent.
Yes, we figure out time slots where we're both awake, and we'll text or do Zoom to talk to each other. But we stay in contact, definitely. I'm usually talking to her probably 4 or 5 times a week. So now that the book's done, we still have that connection and talk to each other about designs and things.
Well, I've seen the book. I saw a digital copy of it, and it's absolutely stunning. It's really a beautiful book. And I know that a lot of quilters these days think that one of the top goals that they would have is to be able to, first of all, design their own patterns, but second of all, have a book really devoted to what they love and their own aesthetic. So how did you actually come about to get that to make that bucket list item, and to do it so quickly? Because my understanding is that you started quilting only about 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was, we were at a quilt con again, and Daisy kind of said, "I feel like we should do a book." And I said, sure. She was teaching at the time and I wasn't, so I had a lot more free time to play with. And I just went to our publisher, CNT Publishing, and said, "Hey, I would love to do a book. My friend Daisy and I would love to do a book with you guys." And we just started talking, and it just sort of, our timing was perfect because they have certain schedules. And so right after QuiltCon, I did a follow-up. We got in contact with the right people. We started planning our book. And because of the way it was timed, instead of having to wait 3 months for the approval process, we were only like a week from their approval meeting. So everything just went boom, 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 right in an order. And before we knew it, we were having a book out 2 years from when we initially started the process, which sounds like a long time, but that's basically the earliest you can do it from the beginning point to the release point. So it happened fast and it all came together and it's just been a wonderful experience. So I just encourage people that really if you've got that inkling, just do it. Just put yourself out there.
Right. You know, that really is fast. I used to sit on the pub board at my previous company, and I know that the amount of time that it takes, first of all, to put together a great proposal and to review that proposal and find something that really resonates with a need in the market, it can take definitely a long time. And I would say it'd be more, a more realistic timeline is more like 3 years to get a book out. But that also speaks to the fact of how prolific you are. Oh, yeah. And for someone who is relatively new to quilting, my goodness, both of you actually are quite prolific. I can't believe when I get on Instagram and I see what you post, like, oh, I think I'll make this quilt. And then the next week I see that quilt all made, beautifully quilted, finished, which is like, in my opinion, three projects. The first project is making the top, the second project is quilting the top, and the third project takes the longest, and that's putting on the binding and photographing it for me. So I'm always just so amazed at how many ideas you must have up your sleeve to be able to come up with that.
Well, I am constantly designing. So if I get, it's kind of my relaxation time. So if I have a spare moment where I just am like, oh, I just want to take this time and just clear my thoughts, I'll sit down and design a quilt. So I, this year made, I think I just counted, I think it was like 22 different projects. Now those aren't all full size quilts, but, you know, for having that many projects, I probably have designed 4 to 6 quilts for each one that gets made. So I kind of have a backlog of things where if I can go back and look at the design and say, hey, this one's really striking me right now. So that kind of saves, you know, some time in that step. And then my building a career as a quilter, my daughter finally got into school, so I get to stay home. And I'm working on business projects, but it just happens that my business projects is making a quilt. So that really gives me a lot of spare time to work in getting quilts done.
Well, you use those words, spare time, and you're right. It is actually work. It is actually work when you're doing it as a profession. And you know, you make it all look easy, which I guess that's the professional in you, which I really appreciate too, that, you know, you just always are on time and you must be pretty darn organized to be able to do all of that and get it done and be a single mom too, to a young child. That is a big commitment. So I think that's absolutely amazing. So one thing that has struck me about both your designs and Daisy's is that you seem to really have focused on a theme. You have basically a series of quilts, both of you, that feature curves. And you also, of course, love stripes. And I'm thinking of the Urban Trek quilt right now, which is a quilt that appeared in Modern Patchwork. And I actually have a copy of Modern Patchwork. It's March, April 2017, sitting on my desk. And one of the reasons it's sitting on my desk is that I just love the quilt that you made. And that is probably one of the first ones that I'd seen that you had done. And it has both stripes and curves. And it was just so innovative and gorgeous. Really, really striking. And I know that I'm not the only one that thinks this, because that got a pretty big award, didn't it, at QuiltCon?
Yes, that won first place in the use of negative space category at QuiltCon, which is, I've had 24 quilts in QuiltCon, if you include the quilts that are going to be in 2020, and I've won one ribbon. So that is a huge, huge honor. Huge honor. But that...
Well, I've had no quilts in QuiltCon. So. Well, you're right. Yeah, getting a ribbon at QuiltCon, that's definitely one of those other bucket list things, too.
And one of the things about Urban Trek, which is makes it one of my favorite quilts, is that was the first quilt that I'd submitted to a magazine. And I was just like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just, you know, I was scared to do it before that. And I submitted it to you and it got in and I couldn't believe it. And so it just is a really special quilt for me in general. And I love that quilt too. So thank you for appreciating the design and accepting it to the magazine and just having the faith in me to, you know, let a newbie designer take on a project like that.
Well, you might have been a newbie designer, but you were a pro right from the beginning. And I just, you know, I'm just astounded, though, that you have found so many new and innovative things to do with the same shape, basically. And I think that that is one of the really interesting things about your book, because as, you know, as we get better at quilting, we get better at doing certain things. And sometimes we get stuck and do the same things over and over. But you have not done that at all. And I'm really, really impressed with a lot of the different shapes that you use. You know, you not only use the Drunkard's Path, but one of the quilts that I really, really love in your new book is called Sunset Horizons. And that's a circle within a circle. But the positioning of the smaller circle is not in the center of the larger circle. And to me, that looks like the most cool hippie earrings that I can imagine. Doesn't that look like earrings, that shape? It's just such a neat shape. But, you know, so you've changed the visual of the outer circle to include something very, very different. Your quilting is beautiful on top of that. It's just a really, really neat quilt.
Well, thank
very
you.
Very fun. How did you come up with that?
Well, I love that you said it looks like earrings, because that was really the original design inspiration. But I was afraid that it was. And I was afraid that it would be too complicated to try to get across in a quilt name. So I went with Sunset Horizons because I was like, well, it looks like a sun setting in a horizon. So, but that's funny. I love that you saw the earring, because that was really the original design inspiration. And then the colors came from those like metallic tones. And so it's, you know, a soft pink and a blue and a soft tan and a gray. And those are kind of came from the metallic tones of earrings. But I love combining the stripes and circles, because it automatically gives you dimension and movement in your project. And so you don't have to work so hard with how do I add this here and how do I add it there, or how do I make my quilt not look flat, because the, you know, stripes are automatically going to make your eye move. And so that gives you movement. And then when you have the circle, it's like looking through a porthole and, so right. You automatically have, like, especially in the Sunset Horizon one, you automatically have that depth that you want in your quilt. So that gives you a lot of freedom when you're working with those two design elements to play with color and to be more minimal if you want to, or you can just go crazy and be stripes everywhere. And it's just a really good design element if you're looking for a way to make your quilt work for you instead of having to work at the quilt for, you know, especially when you're designing. If you're working on a design, and you're trying to get to the point where I really love this, I want to make it, I think starting with those two elements really helps you get there faster.
That's right. And knowing, you know, it's sort of like that that song, The Gambler, you know when to hold them and you know when to fold them. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you make the fabric work for you, mm-hmm. and then you use a striped fabric, or you could piece your stripes, but boy, you can save so much time by using a striped fabric already.
Yeah, and that's what's Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was just thinking it's sort of like you figured out when to do each one of those things, because there are times when you need the element of actually making the striped fabric yourself and, you know, cutting those long strips and piecing those long strips together, et cetera. There is a point where you have to do that. But boy, you could save a major amount of time by just finding the right fabric.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we talk about in the book. We have a technique chapter on how to pick your stripes if you want to go with a printed stripe. And then each of the projects has fabric requirements for a printed stripe or if you want to piece your stripe. So you can customize your quilts, or if there's just this stripe that you fall in love with, you can use that in one of the designs too. And I think that, like I said, just adding those stripes instantly adds dynamics to your quilt. So it's a good way to really up your style in any of the quilt designs.
That's right. And it's also a good way to highlight an area that you want to bring attention to. Like even if, so one of my favorite places to use stripes is on a binding. And if you can use a stripe around a quilt, and you know, you cut it so it looks like little boxes when you finally put it onto the quilt. It just can add so much. It really, really makes a quilt, especially black and white. I love black and white around the edge just to, you know, make your quilt look just a little bit sharper. They're really, really fun to see that.
I definitely agree. I love stripes on the bindings.
So I'm just so thrilled to have seen this book. And I'm also interested in how you got ahead of the curve, and that's no pun intended there, because I can't imagine coming up with this book 2 years ago. I can't imagine coming up with the idea today of doing a book on curves and stripes together, but I am seeing so many stripes and curves, like on Instagram and Facebook, et cetera, any social media outlet. It just seems like this is now the trend. And I can tell you, I'm working on QuiltCon magazine right now. Golden Peak Media also makes QuiltCon magazine in conjunction with the Modern Quilt Guild, and I'm the editor on that. And I've seen so many of these quilts come into our office now that have the curve or the stripes in it. So you really are ahead of the design curve by having picked up on that trend a little early. So that's really a cool thing. How many quilts did you get into QuiltCon this year?
I have...
In 2020?
I have 5 in the judged portion of the show, and then I have 1 in the Modern Quilt Guild Quilts of the Month showcase. So that one will not be judged. But 5's the limit for the judged portion of the show.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so fun. I'm sure that you're seeing all of the other designers out there who are excited about seeing their quilts there. And I'm assuming you're going to be there this year as well, aren't you?
I am. I'm actually teaching. I'm teaching 2 classes, 1 on quilt design and a 2nd class on using watercolor to explore color. I hate using the term color theory because I think it scares people away, but to explore how color interacts with itself. So it should be.
Well, that seems like a really a good topic, really fun topic, and a fun approach to it too. So you don't have to cut up any fabric. You can just take your watercolors out and play.
Yeah, I'm really excited for both classes. Really excited to teach them.
So that's another bucket list item right there. So it seems like you're meeting all of your bucket list goals. You have a new book out. You have a teaching gig at QuiltCon, which is probably the hottest gig available for a modern quilter. What else is up your sleeve for 2020?
Well, I actually have just completed my first draft on a 2nd book. So I have another book coming out in February 2020. And I can't talk too much about what
February 2020.
Oh,
excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's February 20. Oh, okay.
Thank you for catching that.
Really good. You've got one after another.
Oh my goodness. That would be insane. But yes, you're right. Thank you for catching that. February 2021. And I can't talk too much about what's in it, but it's an expansion of what I'm going to be covering in my QuiltCon classes and in both of them. So I'm really excited. I think design's really the, you know, my passion for quilting comes from quilt designing. So I hope that that's reflective in the book too.
Well, you know, when someone is passionate about something, when they love what they do, it shows. And Heather, I am just so thrilled for you that you've got this beautiful book that's just coming out the first week of January. It's going to be available on your own website. We'll have a link to that on our show notes page. It'll be available in bookstores near everybody. But, you know, it just warms my heart to think that you first published a magazine article or pattern in a magazine with Modern Patchwork, and that you're continuing doing that kind of thing with us now in QuiltCon magazine too, because you'll have a magazine in QuiltCon as well this year. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you and Daisy have found each other as creative friends and have been able to create this book together. The book's title is, let me just pull it up again so I don't get it wrong, Quilt Modern Curves and Bold Stripes, 15 Dynamic Projects for All Skill Levels by Heather Black and Daisy Aschehoug. Congratulations, Heather, and I am so thrilled that you could be with us on this podcast.
Thank you.
All right, it is time for our Fine Finishes segment. Usually Lori leads this one.
Right.
And she's not with us today.
Poor Lori.
She's on vacation.
Yeah.
So we are filling in for her. And I had a really interesting thing happen today. I want to read a letter that I got from a brand new listener. And it kind of has a funny story. So over the weekend, I got a note on Instagram inviting me to participate in a sew along. Now, you ladies know how busy we all are, that it's kind of hard to participate in sew-alongs. However, the sew-along was for a pattern that I spotted on Instagram a few weeks ago and absolutely fell in love. It is for an adorable pincushion, and she made it look like a roll of stamps. So it's got a little slit in it, and then you make fussy cut these little stamps that lay next to it or look like they're coming out of this little roll. It is adorable. And so I'm sitting there going, oh no, like this is something I actually want to make.
Right.
So normally I would say no, but I was like, oh, but I covet this pattern. What am I going to do? So I offered to give her a shout out on the podcast. And so her Instagram handle is Maggie in Stitches. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Maggie.in.stitches. Go follow her. She's awesome. She's going to be having a sew along this week for this adorable pincushion. And so when I mentioned that we would, you know, I'd try and give her a shout out on this podcast, she was like, oh, I'm going to go listen. So the funny thing was, I literally must have answered her at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And this is what she wrote back.
At what time?
At 1 a.m. Okay. This is what she wrote back. I just finished listening and I loved it. Oh, and I should preface that she was listening to the Victoria Finley Wolf, so the last
nice.
Episode. So you might want to go listen to that and then come back. We'll wait.
Yeah, go.
So I just finished listening and I loved it. You all three have such good chemistry, and now I want to be the next Tracy Mooney. Isn't that silly?
Ginger, I was quoted.
So
I
fabulous.
Do too.
Yeah. Oh, Vivica. No, I think we all want to be you. My goodness.
No.
So it's just a love fest in here.
No.
All right. The interview with Victoria was great, and it completely reminded me of my grandmother. She grew up during the Depression and was a firm believer in waste not, want not. She would cut up a quilt in a heartbeat to repurpose it for something else. She also sewed a lot of double knit polyester, so listening made me giggle. Sweaty cockroaches, indeed. Ginger's doing all these like funny faces. She's been cracking me up.
Aww.
All right. So I'm up way too late, but once I started listening, I couldn't stop. I'm so blown away by you. We have so many incredibly talented ladies in our community, and every day I'm inspired and in awe. I have been sewing since I was 8 years old. My mom got an embroidery kit for me to stitch while traveling in the car because, you know, no electronic devices in the 70s, you know? I was hooked. I started sewing clothes at 19 after watching my grandmother do it for years. She was a seamstress here in Atlanta. She sewed all of her own clothes. In October of 2015, I decided that I wanted to learn to quilt after seeing Lori Holt's work here on Instagram. I'm so glad I did. In December of that year, I had an artery come apart in my neck spontaneously. I had ignored a migraine for 6 days. I really should have gone to the doctor and listened to my body, but when you have a family to take care of and a three-year-old, you just take an aspirin and you keep plugging away. So I went to bed on Sunday, and I woke up on Wednesday with holes drilled in my head, wires and tubes coming out of my body, and laying in the CICU of Emory Hospital. The artery coming apart had caused a brain aneurysm, which burst. Thankfully, my husband was home that Monday morning and could call 911. I was life-flighted to Emory. So grateful, but it was a shock. I stayed there for an entire month. Recovery has been very tough. I had to learn to walk again, had multiple surgeries to be able to see, and I will probably never be able to get back my normal life. I'm still not driving, and I use a cane when going out of the house. There are so many reasons to be angry, but there are more reasons to be joyful. Very few people will understand, but sewing, that gave me joy. And I could do it with only having slight vision. I would sit at the table very still because moving made me nauseous, and I'd cut out squares for hexagons and EPP. I had a very small stash of quilting fabric, and I just sewed. I found like-minded stitchy friends on Instagram, and I just kept sewing. Brain damage heals very, very slowly. It takes years. The doctors said 7 to 10 years. I thought they were exaggerating. Well, I'm 4 years out just last week, and I'm here to tell you they are not. But back to the positive. This sewing community has been fabulous. I have met many, many dear and precious people, some so close that I now call them sisters. They all sew for various reasons and are so encouraging to me. I'm not fast, and I do not get a huge quantity of work done. It takes me years to make a quilt, but that's okay. Sometimes I feel like we look at people like Eleanor Burns, who, by the way, I love, and who can truly make a quilt in one day, and we measure ourselves against their abilities. I tell myself to stop. Measure yourself against yourself. I look at what I can do now, and I compare it to what I could do 4 years ago, and I've learned so much. I've gotten better. My skills have improved. For me, it isn't about speed, but quality. I'd rather have a tiny bit of fabulous than a huge pile of just okay. I'm sorry for going on and on, but we each have our own abilities and we should be happy for others and theirs and celebrate our own. Your podcast made me laugh and I loved the interview with Victoria. Pat yourself on the back. How fabulous and brave of you. Being on camera or having my voice recording is terrifying to me. But that is the reason why I popped in here, to just let you know how much I enjoyed it. And her name is Maggie Strachan.
Yay, Maggie and Stitches. That was beautiful.
Isn't that an amazing story? Beautiful.
Oh,
I loved what she had to say about having a little bit of fabulous rather than a pile of just okay. Well, and I think for some people, they'd want to get it done and like have quantity.
Right.
But it made me feel better because I know personally I've had my own battles with arthritis and autoimmune disease, and I completely understand where she's coming from. I've had to relearn how to do certain things, mm-hmm. and it makes me feel sad sometimes when I'm so slow.
Yeah. I love what you said about not comparing yourself to other people, because I know being around all of you guys and being the newbie, it's hard not to compare yourself. So the fact that you guys are just like such a great fountain of information, and you get people like this that do just totally inspire you. So I will take that message to heart for sure. Like, I'm not going to compare myself to you. I'm just going to aspire to be you.
It brought to mind the Teddy Roosevelt quote that I just love so much. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Very true.
And we all have a different journey. And what a touching story about her journey, because you just don't know what anyone else goes through.
So
and
true.
Sewing, knitting, holding something in your hand and physically making something can bring so much joy, peace, and happiness. Mm-hmm. It's little, but it's huge.
Yeah, definitely.
So true.
Yay. And we have a listener. Yay.
We have a few listeners.
I know.
But
I
at
know.
Least she's a new one. Oh. So thank you, ladies, so much for joining us today. And I am so excited that it's a new year. And the next episode will be our new season. We have so much lined up for all of our listeners. It's going to be so much fun.
I know. I'm hoping Lori comes back. She may just be gone forever.
Let's hope she'll
not.
Be back next
yes,
time. It'll
yes,
be okay.
Let's hope. We miss her. But Vivica, it's awesome. We need you more.
We do need you more,
oh,
Vivica.
This was fun. Really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, ladies. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye now.
Thanks so much for listening to the Quilting Company podcast. Remember, you can find more information about our sponsors or what we talked about today on our show notes page, quiltingcompany.com/quiltpodcast. If you haven't already subscribed, find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Happy quilting! The Quilting Company podcast is produced by me, Tracy Mooney, and our executive producer of podcast is Jared Meir.